From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, September 16th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Either yourself, defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work right here. There you go. Shoulders back. Stiffen that backbone. Put a smile on your face and keep a prayer on your lips and everything is going to be just fine. All right. Time for the official start to the affair with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, there are four types of people in this world. Those who make things happen... Those who watch things happen, those who wonder what happened, and those who don't know that anything happened at all. Now remember that, because this is an election year.
And the hits just keep on coming.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blog cast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Very excited.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Hey, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1908 the General Motors Corporation was founded. Love them or hate them, you got to give them credit for coming up with a Corvette, right? Sheesh. Nobody else in the world could come up with a car like that for the money. Believe me. Wow. And it was on this day in 1987, the Montreal Protocol was signed to protect the ozone layer from depletion. However, they never signed a protocol to protect the ozone layer for Montreal.
You're messing with my Zen thing, man.
You would have to have been living under a rock yesterday, or maybe you were one of the blessed few who had time to just get out of Dodge for the whole weekend and stay incognito. I envy you for that. But there was another attempt on Donald Trump's life. Pretty much as I predicted there would be. There will be more. This isn't the last one either. You can ramp up all the security you want, but if the deep state is really that bent on killing this man, they're going to do it, and they're going to keep trying until they succeed in killing him. Of course, my warning for the country is, if you succeed in killing Donald Trump, you'd better be prepared for the hell in this country that you're going to be ushering in. Because I really believe there will be some form of civil war if Donald Trump is killed. Now, NBC reported yesterday afternoon about 6:22 Eastern Time that the suspect who's in custody is named Ryan Wesley. I assume it's pronounced Ruth, R-O-U-T-H, Ruth or Ralph. And Tom Winter tweeted from NBC News, he said, three senior law enforcement officials briefed on the matter say the person in custody who was shot at by Secret Service while possessing a semi-automatic rifle in an apparent assassination attempt is Ryan Wesley Ruth, or Ralph. Now, there are a lot of rumors floating around about his, Ruth's, social media accounts and more, and those are as yet unconfirmed. But NBC and other media outlets are working hard to confirm them because NBC and others of that ilk really are probably mourning the fact that this guy didn't succeed. I really do believe our mainstream media wants Donald Trump dead. Yes, our mainstream media is that evil. Now, around 5:49 Eastern Time yesterday, Rachel Vindman, who's the wife of anti-Trump whistleblower Alex Vindman, the guy who sat there in uniform and spouted all kinds of left-wing trash a couple of years ago. His brother Eugene is running for Congress in Virginia. So the wife, Rachel Vindman, published this on X. No ears were harmed. Carry on with your Sunday afternoon. You bitch. You bitch. Go to hell. Naturally, she's been roundly criticized for this. And Donald Trump Jr. tweeted, "These people are effing demented." But he didn't use the word effing. Rachel Vindman, you bitch. You are showing. Thank God, though. You know, it's really a good thing that she did this. Because now we're able to see who these people on the left really are. Sometimes all you need to help you decide who to vote for in November is just to sit and listen to Jim Jordan of Ohio for a few minutes. You know, he's chairman of one of the big committees up there in Washington. And I don't know which committee this was. But I have some audio here. And I want you to listen to this guy because this was from last Wednesday. And he's just talking about some of the things that the current administration, I don't know if it's a Biden administration or a Harris administration or an Obama administration. Let's call it what it is, the deep state administration. But he's kind of running down a laundry list here of what's wrong with our borders. And he drops a few names, too, that are very, very important that for some reason the Democrats seem to keep forgetting.
Chairman, I recognize myself for an opening statement. On day one, the Biden-Harris administration made three changes that led to the unprecedented situation we've seen in our country. Day one, they decided no more building the wall, no more remain in Mexico while we evaluate your asylum claim, and once you get here, you will not be detained, you will be released into the country. And as a result of that, 10 million migrants have come into the country, 99 on the terrorist watch list. We've lost track, they've lost track of hundreds of thousands of young people who came into the country. Because of all those decisions made, again, deliberately, intentionally, in a premeditated way on day one of this administration, all kinds of terrible things have happened. All kinds of terrible things. Jocelyn Nungary, Noah Rodriguez, Kayla Hamilton, Weston Funder, Rachel Marin, Lakin Riley, Maria Gonzalez, Sam Fagan, Gabriel Fagan. Each one of these individuals were someone's child. Each one had a promising life ahead of them. Each one had people in their lives who loved and cared for them. Each one is a victim of the Biden-Harris open border policies. Jocelyn and Maria, not yet even teenagers, were brutally assaulted and murdered by illegal aliens who were released into the country by this administration. Kayla and Lakin, young women pursuing their dreams, were brutally assaulted and murdered by illegal aliens who this administration released into this country. Rachel Marin, a mom of five young children, was brutally assaulted and murdered by an illegal alien welcomed into this country by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Noah Rodriguez, Sam Fagan, Gabriel Fagan, Weston Funder, teenagers and young men with bright futures were poisoned by fentanyl that this administration refused to stop from flowing across our southern border. You may have heard these names and stories and those of countless other victims of criminal illegal aliens, but not from Kamala Harris. Last week, a teenager in Manassas, Virginia, was allegedly kidnapped by an illegal alien purportedly released into the country again by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's administration. In January, two New York City police officers were assaulted by a group of illegal aliens who entered the country thanks to this administration's open border policy. In May of 2023, a teenage girl in Alabama was viciously assaulted in a restaurant bathroom by an illegal alien with a violent arrest record in his home country who was able to enter the country as a, quote, gotaway because of this administration's policies that ensure Border Patrol agents are too busy processing illegal aliens to actually patrol the border and do their job. Last February, a Nassau County, New York man was the victim of a brutal anti-Semitic attack at the hands of an illegal alien who this administration released into the country. I could keep listing these stories. This is what happens when you have an administration that doesn't care about border security, that prioritizes aliens over Americans and legal immigrants, and that refuses to enforce immigration laws in the interior of the country. I'm sure that we'll hear a lot of excuses from my Democrat colleagues today. We will hear how the illegal border crossings have decreased Of course, we all know that the Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are flying illegal aliens right now into the U.S. interior. We will hear that tired and flawed argument that natives commit more crimes than immigrants. Even if that was true, would it matter to Rachel's family, or Kayla's mom, or Jocelyn's mom, or Weston's family? The truth is that in every crime I've discussed, everyone committed by an illegal alien was preventable. If only we had an administration that did their job. But unfortunately, we don't. We have a Democrat presidential candidate who for years advocated for open borders. She was appointed the border czar, yet presided over the largest mass illegal immigration in U.S. history. She has called for ICE to be abolished. She has laughed off questions about border security. She has promoted amnesty. She has said that, quote, undocumented immigrant is not a criminal. Thanks to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, we're on track to get to 12 million illegal aliens in the United States in this four-year administration. 12 million. I always tell folks, 12 million, that's the equivalent of the entire population of our state of Ohio, seventh largest state in the union. And that's not even counting the 1.9 million known gotaways who've evaded Border Patrol or the unknown number of gotaways who've not even been detected. American communities are left to suffer the consequences. We're going to hear from people who've suffered it in a direct way today.
Now, apparently what ensued right after that monologue there, which was eloquent, very eloquent monologue from Jim Jordan of Ohio, they spent the day listening to people who had come in with their testimonies as to how this illegal immigration has affected them. You had some ranch owners from border states who gave testimony about the things that they're finding on their land, how their land has been destroyed by these people trampling their fields. And it was just a whole day of nothing but testimony from people who have been harmed in one way or another. Some of them facing some real hardships because of illegal immigration. And you'll notice that Jim Jordan called these people what they are. And I'm not talking about the people testifying. I'm talking about the illegal immigrants. He called them illegal aliens. And we need to bring that language back big time. Every time we refer to these people, we got to stop using the politically correct term of undocumented immigrants. These are invaders. These are illegal aliens. They're not here legally, so that means they're illegal. They are aliens. They're not citizens. They're not here on a visa. They're not visitors. They're not tourists. They are aliens. They are illegal aliens. Can we be clear about that from here on out? Thank you, Jim Jordan, for speaking frankly. And you notice that nobody objected. And that was what surprised me more than anything else, is nobody objected. Now, if you want to find out how bad the situation is going to get in the future, all you have to do now is home in on what's going on in Springfield, Ohio. I used to live in Ohio. I know where Springfield is. It's about, maybe 60 miles west of Columbus on old U.S. Highway 40. And Springfield used to be a nice little town. It's had its hardships lately because of the Biden administration, because of the poor economy. And so things are already tough enough in Springfield, town of about 60,000 people. Then they get dumped 20,000 of these barbarians, which is what they are, barbarians out of Haiti. Haiti is, well, I don't want to use the term. Use your imagination. You can imagine what I am thinking in terms of what a nasty place Haiti is. Now, Haiti is on the same island that the Dominican Republic is on. The Dominican Republic has a government, they have a good system, they have largely a free enterprise system, and it's a very civilized place. But as soon as you cross the border going west and you get into Haiti, oh my God, that place is just a complete, insert whatever term you care to use there. Place is just god awful. So now we have a microcosm of what's happening here nationally. Because here we go. We have between, 8 and 12 million illegal aliens in this country. They brought their culture such as it is with them. And some of them come from some nice places. In fact, I would imagine the majority of them are Christian people. They're Catholics. They're just coming here for opportunities. I'd say that's the majority. But What percentages are we talking about here? We don't know. We have nothing to study it with. But I'm warning you, what's going on right now in Springfield, Ohio, is a microcosm of what's happening nationally, and this is going to have a lasting effect on this nation for the foreseeable future. Well beyond the end of my lifetime. There's going to be a cultural change in this country. There's going to be a change in crime. Believe me, I hope Donald Trump can pull off what he's promising. First of all, he has to get elected. And then, once he's in the White House, I sure hope he can pull off this massive deportation that he's talking about. I don't know how they're going to go about it. I don't know how they're going to pull these people out of the woodwork from wherever they're hiding. But they've got to be found, and they have to be deported. Enough with all this open border policy. Period. Build the damn wall. Build this nation into a giant fortress. These people do have a right to be here, but not illegally. If they want to come in, they can come in the way my grandparents did. They can come in legally. But I, for one, have had it up to here with this crap and these lying bastards on the left. They don't even talk about it. They don't want to talk about the border. They're leaving the border open for a reason, because they believe that all these people coming in are going to vote Democrat. Well, that means that you intend to allow all of these illegal aliens to vote. Don't do that to me, because if you want to start a civil war, you just let these illegals vote. I served my country for 4 years at a time in the nation's history when it was not a popular thing to do. It wasn't a popular thing to serve in the military from 1968 through 1972 when I served. The public sentiment toward the military wasn't good. In fact, I visited a couple of Air Force bases here in the country where I was warned, when you get ready to leave the base, be sure you put on your civilian clothes, because uniformed servicemen and women are not regarded very highly in this community. You know, thank God where I served most of my time, Biloxi, Mississippi, they were just perfectly fine with us. But that was not an easy thing to do in those days, was to serve in the military. Public sentiment was not good. All the little stories you've heard are true. But I served, and so many people like me served, and we were actually glad to do it, really. I didn't want to do it when I got my draft notice. I didn't want to go, but I enlisted in the Air Force for 4 years because I wanted to come out of the experience alive. So don't do this to all these people in my generation who served, and people in previous generations to mine. I mean, my God, the greatest generation, World War II veterans, the few who are still alive. I mean, can you imagine what they're thinking about this situation now with the open borders? Don't do this to us. Elect Donald Trump, get him in the White House, and support him in this effort to mass deport all of these illegal aliens. Build the wall around the entire country. Yes, even between here and Canada. Build the wall. Make immigration legal again. There's not a lot of secret to the fact that Vlad Putin wants to pick a fight with the West. And I don't know what it is in his mentality that makes him want to careen toward World War III, but our current administration, the Biden-Harris administration, doesn't seem to be doing much to prevent it. And I don't know what kind of engagement is needed, but there's certainly some tough talk needed from Washington, and it's not happening. Now, Russia has issued a stark warning that it may join forces with China to counter what the Russians perceive as increasing threats from the United States and our allies. And this comes as the Biden administration accuses Beijing of bolstering Russia's military capabilities during this ongoing and persistent war in Ukraine. Now, Moscow's foreign ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova made the bold statement during a recent press briefing where she emphasized that any aggressive moves from the West would be met with a united front by Russia and China, saying, "I would like to remind you that Moscow and Beijing will respond to double containment by the United States with double counteraction." So, this is seen as a response to the U.S. strategy of simultaneously containing both Russia and China through diplomatic and military pressure. Now, I'm sure if you're a regular listener to these blogcasts, I'm sure you remember my mentioning a few months back that we're reactivating that old World War II airbase, which consisted of four huge runways on the northern tip of the island of Tinian. It is being reactivated. And it's only being reactivated because of increased threats from China and China's behavior in the South Pacific. Now, the timing of Zakharova's comments over there in Russia coincides with concerns that are growing over U.S. missile deployments in Japan, which some reports suggest could include Typhon mid-range missiles. Now, these missiles, once prohibited by the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, or the INF, are now a point of contention after the treaty's collapse. Moscow views these deployments as a serious threat, particularly as tensions between NATO and Russia continue to escalate following the invasion of Ukraine. Now, in response, China and Russia have already begun demonstrating their military coordination. It was just last week, China and Russia Russian naval forces started joint patrols in the Pacific, basically signaling to us here in the States that their allies, that their partnership extends far beyond rhetoric. And these drills are part of a broader effort to deepen military and strategic ties between Russia and China, which have grown considerably since the start of the war in Ukraine, but I would also argue probably started growing once the Biden administration took the White House. And Chinese state media confirmed that the exercises are going to last through the rest of this month and involve both warships and aircraft. So while Russia and China don't yet have a formal military alliance, I would argue they don't need one. You know, their relationship has been described as a no-limits friendship by Chinese President Xi Jinping. Vlad Putin has echoed the sentiments, referring to the two countries as allies in every sense of the word. He made that statement earlier this year. So this growing partnership has raised alarms in Washington, with U.S. officials warning that China's support for Russia could prolong the war in Ukraine and then, of course, further destabilize the global picture and inch us ever so closer to World War III. Now, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Kurt Campbell recently accused China of supplying more than just dual-use items to Russia, alleging that Beijing is actively providing critical components for submarines and missile technology. Well, why wouldn't we believe this? It stands to reason. Even though these claims have been met with denials from China, how do you expect China to respond, right? I mean, China officially is still asserting their neutrality in the Ukraine conflict, but they'll tell you anything. But Western analysts are skeptical. But I'm skeptical about the Western analysts. You know, these analysts that we're talking to and networks like Fox talk to from time to time, are these the warmongers that Tulsi Gabbard keeps saying are inching us closer and closer to war? I mean, if World War III were to break out as our October surprise, what do you think would happen with the election? I mean, would we change presidents? Or would we turn things over to Kamala Harris? I mean, this is a scary situation. This time frame between right now, today, Monday, the 16th of September, And November 5th could be a very tense time. And let's not forget that industrial cooperation between China and Russia has beefed up. Because China intends to play a significant role in propping up Russia's defense sector. Because they can make money. And despite their historical rivalries, particularly over border disputes, Russia and China found quite a bit of common ground in their opposition to what they see as U.S. Dominance. And both nations share a belief that the U.S.-led international order is in decline. Because that's the picture that the Biden-Harris administration projects. And they've expressed a desire to shape a new global structure with Eurasia at its core. So this ambition is reflected almost on a daily basis in their participation in initiatives like the Belt and Road Initiative, known as the BRI, and the International North-South Transportation Corridor, which aim to connect Eurasian economies and reduce dependence on Western markets. I mean, if the goal here is purely economic, okay, not a big deal. But I'm not convinced that it is. And the strategic alliance between Russia and China has some pretty big implications, not only for the war in Ukraine, but also for the balance of power in the Asia-Pacific region. So as the two countries continue to strengthen their military and economic ties, we here face the challenge of containing two of the world's largest authoritarian regimes simultaneously. Think of it as a two-front economic war and military to a degree. And that's a task that grows more difficult with each passing month. To the Comedy Corner with Daniel Eaches.
I have been trying to hike. You guys do that? No, a few of you? Anybody? You guys park far away? Anything? Come on, folks. Give me some. No, I get it. I don't tell many people that I hike, and honestly, it's because I'm so skinny. All right? Hear me out. When fat people hike, everyone's very supportive. Because if you're overweight, you're tired, you're sweaty, you can't make it up the hill, everyone's like, this is great, you're doing good, this is healthy for you. But when I'm tired and I'm sweating and I can't make it up the hill, everyone's like, you're gonna die. What's wrong with you? You need nutrients. Let's go. Trying to be healthier. I feel like I was sick all last year. It was terrible. I had allergies the entire year. It was terrible. I hate getting allergies. It always makes me feel so unmanly. Because my friends will see me sick and be like, what did this to you? And I have to be like, wind. Mixed with flowers. Almost killed me. Trying to be healthier. I don't smoke cigarettes or anything like that. I never got why cigarettes have to be all bad. You know, I feel like they should at least add in vitamins. Right? Keep them the same, add in vitamins. It'd be better for everyone. Instead of secondhand smoke, you get secondhand antioxidants. I could already see the commercials. It's like, wow, Timmy, how'd you get such strong bones? Like, from smoking these. New Camel cigarettes plus calcium. My teeth may be stained, but they're sturdy. Why not? Trying to be healthier. Trying to be manlier, too. Learning how to barbecue right now. Yeah. Starting off simple, just Pop-Tarts, but feels good, you know? Feels manly. I wish I could be a manly guy. I really do. I wish I could get a tattoo or something. I couldn't do it. I'm scared of needles. It'd be like, Daniel, what happened to that tiger you were going to get? I'd be like, yeah, the needle hurt. Now I just have a comma.
I
thinking about finishing into a semicolon.
Make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.